This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, August 30th, 2015. The 13th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Religion that is pure and undefiled. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Religion. We just spent 4 weeks being very, very specific in homilies and instruction here, focused on the Eucharist. Very, very specific, very, very pointed. It's good to do that on occasion. It's really good to do it when we're talking about the way that our Lord deals with us in this world, and that is through the Eucharist, first and foremost. But we never want to lose the sight of the forest for the trees. We pay attention to a lot about the Eucharist over the past. We should pay attention to the Eucharist every day. We should live, as I said last week, Eucharistic lives. But then this week, let's go somewhere else. Let's go from very focused to very, very broad and talk about religion. What is religion? I mean, think about it for a second. When he presses you, hey, religion, definition, faith. Nope. St. James talks about faith in other places in his letter, and he talks about religion here. They are two different things, religion and faith. Faith is our focus on particulars, individually. For instance, we individually come to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has, by his grace, called us to himself, opened our eyes to the things that he says are true, and then we make this decision to be obedient and faithful, and we are baptized. We are baptized into his body. We are baptized into a community. That is what religion is the communal aspect of how we approach God. I don't normally go outside the Catholic Church, even more so, I very rarely go outside Christianity, but there is a sociologist in the 19th century in France, Emile Durkheim by name, and Dr. Durkheim says that religion is, I like brevity, that's why I went here. Religion is something eminently social. Religion is something eminently social. If you could differentiate between the two, I mean, we all collectively have a faith, but that faith is that individual assent to the truth claims of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that makes us part of the body of Christ. The being part of the body of Christ is our religion. That is the way we, as the Catholic community, approach God. It is an institution that has been given to us by God. It is the only institution politically, and I mean that in the purest sense of the word, that has come from the top down. Every other governmental structure on the face of this planet has always started out by people getting together and deciding on who's going to be the king, or a person deciding to be a despotic dictator. Okay? Everything else is from the bottom up. The Catholic Church is the only governmental structure that has ever been from the ultimate top down. Our Lord Jesus Christ saying, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and everything flows from it. A divine institution from the top down. That is our religion. It's more than a political system for us. It is the way we deal with God as a community, as being part of that institution of the church that was built upon the rock, which is Peter. So there's a difference between faith and religion. And what James is talking about here is religion. And it is very important. We live in a day and an age where individualism is that's the banner to be waved. You deserve this, and you need that, you ask for it, and people ought to bow down to you because you deserve it. Can you hear enough about you willing things and all this? It's all about you. For Catholics, it should be just the opposite. But unfortunately, even in our own church, we just talked about the Eucharist for 4 weeks, right? A lot of people approach the Eucharist in a very individualistic manner. My reception of our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity. When we receive our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity, it is to be, as I pointed out through our study, to be drawn closer to Him. Closer to Him, closer to His body. We all do that. Yes, we come up here individually, but we are drawn closer to Him, into His body, which is the church. So our faith and our religion, one cannot take precedent over the other. There has to be a balance between the two. You have individually come to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and then you have been baptized into His body, which is the church, which is our Catholic religion. I hear this all the time. I'm sure you hear it too. I'm very spiritual, but I'm not religious. As ridiculous as that sounds, a lot of times that comes from the world, okay? The world says goofy things all the time, so when they say that, it's like, whatever. You know, I'm spiritual, but I'm not. What I'm more concerned about is the lapsed Catholics. Catholics that don't attend Mass anymore. Any of us who have them in our own families. You know, I don't embrace organized religion anymore. Guess what? Not your option. Not your option. Our Lord Jesus Christ instituted the church of which we are baptized into as part. Okay? The scriptures themselves explicitly say, if you take notes on such things, Hebrews 10:25, the Holy Spirit says to the writer, "Forsake not your gathering together, as is the habit of some." If you are spiritual, and I mean it's directed in a very positive manner, and that positive manner is the way, the truth, and the life, our Lord Jesus Christ, and He says, no one comes to the Father but by Me. So we focus upon that. And the way He has instituted to approach Him is through His church. That's why we're baptized. Well, I thought baptism washed away my sins. It does. It washes away your sins, original and all actual, and it engrafts you into Christ's body, collectively. So it is individual and it is religious. It is faith and religion. James wants us to understand that religion is important. It's paramount. Okay, because that's the way we as a community, the Catholic Church, relate to God, collectively. He puts us on notice when he says, if anyone thinks he is religious... Oh, what's coming next? If anyone thinks he's religious, we got to step back and put ourselves in a cultural context, in a historical context. To whom is James writing? St. James is writing to Jewish converts who have become Christians. Okay? These folks are the ones of whom our Lord Jesus Christ talks about in the gospel. These who have been all caught up in not only some good things. The washing of hands, for instance, is not bad per se, not bad in and of itself. There are four ceremonial washings in every Mass. One you don't see happens when I'm vesting. There are three others here, two before communion, one after. So ceremonial washings aren't evil in and of themselves. Our Lord goes on to say, and they got all other kind of rules too, about washing cups and washing bronze vessels, washing pots. They made these ceremonial things equal with their love for Almighty God Himself. He's talking about what I always point out is having form with no substance. Doing things just because. Don't turn off because I said James is writing to Jewish converts. Okay, well, I'm not a Jewish convert, so this doesn't apply to me. We can all fall into this. We can all fall into this form without substance things. You know, I always put everybody on notice who comes here because we use some very ancient forms, which a lot of people don't use anymore. There is a reason that we use them. You need to know the reasons, and I try my utmost in classes and homilies to teach us why we do the things that we do, because it is very important to do those things, but there has to be substance under the form. Now, I know a whole lot of folks to go other places because they use Latin. You know, if it's not Latin, it's just demonic. Okay? I love Latin. Come during the week, you're going to hear some. All right? Latin is the language of the Western Church. We should know the high points of the Mass in Latin. Doesn't mean you have to go out and buy Latin dictionaries and books and all this kind of thing. You should just know All right, because it is the language of your church. But it doesn't make the Mass demonic if it's not in Latin. All right? Gregorian chant. Love it. Our choir is awesome. I mean, they get into all kinds of stuff. And it's traditional. Always remember this, quote, there is a tremendous difference between tradition and traditionalism. Tradition is the living faith of the dead. That's tradition. Traditionalism is the dead faith of the living. That's form with no substance. That's what James is talking about. You need to have a true religion, a religion that has substance under the form. He says, a religion that is not in vain, that is pure and undefiled, is this. And he gives three characteristics. Two of the characteristics I'm not even going to harp on because we know them. All right? Charity, no-brainer. We're Christians. We don't let people go in want. That's just what we are or what we should be. Okay? So charity. I will point out one little thing that James says. When he talks about being charitable, he says something very specific. He says to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. He doesn't say be charitable to the poor, give to the poor. You hear a lot about the preferential treatment of the poor. Us not letting people be in want is just what we are to do being Christian. The Holy Spirit gets very specific here. He says to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. There is no place in Scripture where there is a pronounced preferential treatment for the poor. Remember when our Lord looks, when one of the apostles says, oh, this is a waste of ointment, it's very expensive, we could have sold that and given that money to the poor. What does our Lord respond? Hey, you're right. That's because everything is all well and good with the world if we're given to the poor. Our Lord says, the poor you will always have with you. She's done a good work for me. All right? So we are to be charitable. But we should have a preferential attention to orphans and widows. I don't mean maybe technically speaking widows and orphans. You got to understand, when this stuff was written, Old Testament stuff, people took advantage of widows and orphans because they had no more natural guardians. Their natural guardians, their husbands, their fathers, were dead. And back in that day, the social network had a lot of holes in it. It was very real possibility you could die. You could starve to death if you were a widow or an orphan. So in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we are to fend for those who have lost their natural guardians, are not able to fend for themselves. Not always people who just will not, of their own volition, fend for themselves. So it's a preferential treatment for the widows and orphans, or anyone who loses their natural guardians. That's a characteristic of our true religion. Religion that not is vain also is keeping oneself unspotted from the world. Do we not hear about this all the time? The moralisms. Don't do this, do that, which is very important. I'm not being mocking. You know, I stand up here often and talk about the things we should do and the things that we ought not do. That's just a given. Just like giving to the poor is a given of our Christian life. So keeping ourselves unspotted from the world is a no-brainer. We don't do the things that the world does. We don't watch the things that they watch. We don't talk the way they talk. We don't live like we're them when we're not in these walls. We keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Again, it's a given. That's just the practical working out of our faith. Those are two characteristics that he gives. This third one we get, and it's separate. I always point out and criticize quite frequently whenever we read from the lectionary and it's edited and you don't get this and you don't get that. The reading from James chapter 1 today is tremendously edited. You get a couple verses, they skip a few, you get a couple more, they skip a few, you get a couple more. And this idea of characteristics of true religion, this is what James starts out by saying before he gets into being charitable and keeping yourself unspotted from the world. He says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, this man's religion is vain. What's the big deal about the tongue, James? What's that got to do with anything? He actually separates it as a prominent characteristic of true religion, is bridling your tongue. And James goes on a whole lot to talk about our mouths. Hover on this for a couple seconds. In the confessional, I always, I get this, I get that, I get this. And then as a sort of an afterthought, oh yeah, and I said this, or I said this, I said. And I sit there and I kind of think about what has gone on before and some of the things that they think are very important. You know, lying, being impatient, all this kind of stuff. I'm like, how did that manifest itself? Through your mouth? Our Lord in the gospel today, he talks about all the things that come out of a man. How do things come out of you? Through your mouth? And he doesn't talk about just lying and gossiping and things like that. He talks about murder, adultery, thievery, licentiousness. He goes through all these moralisms. They all start coming out of your mouth. Whether it be talking to yourself about it or talking to other people about it. And when I say talking to yourself, maybe not audibly, but nonetheless holding converse with yourself. The tongue is of the utmost importance to watch when you want a true religion that is not vain. So he said that the reading today is from James chapter 1. He tells us to be slow to speak. In chapter 3, he really gets into this tongue thing. He says, if you can bridle the tongue, you are perfect and can tame your whole body. Which one of us, this is rhetorical, I don't need to see the hands for all you who are perfect. Which one of us can control our body? Which one of us doesn't, on occasion, look where we ought not look, go where we ought not go, do what we ought not do what we should do? If you're perfect, you can do that stuff. All right? If you can do all those things, you can also bridle your tongue. So if I just went through this litany, and I didn't see a whole lot of hands, like although I said it was rhetorical, I think as we are introspective about this, we have to understand that when he says that, he's talking about, it's darn near impossible to bridle your tongue. He goes on to say, and he uses all kind of descriptive terms about the tongue. He says, and I quote, it is a fire, an unrighteous world among our members or our body parts. It is set on fire by hell, a restless evil full of deadly poison. That's his description under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about your tongue. That should put us on guard, right? A lot of stuff in Scripture we could say, well, that's your interpretation. You know, I wonder what the interpretation of that is. That's kind of obscure. What are the references there? Every now and then you get a very, very succinct statement by the Holy Spirit in Scripture. I quote from James, the Holy Spirit speaking through him, what is the interpretation of this sentence? No human being can tame the tongue. Period. No human being can tame the tongue. That is what God is telling you. He said, well, then I don't have to worry about it, right? He's telling me I can't tame it, so what's the difference? You know, Holy Spirit will help me out with it. No. Why does he say that? No human being can tame the tongue. So what do? You watch it tremendously. You use it very sparingly, if at all. You just don't go there. I was actually thinking of an illustration for this about no human being can tame the tongue, so you've got to be careful. That's what the Holy Spirit's saying. Be careful! Exclamation point. Because you cannot tame this thing that is your tongue that rests in your mouth. All right? Be careful with it. The illustration that I came up with was my dog. How the heck did that happen? My dog, those of you who have been around, you know my dog. Of blessed memory, Eudora used to call him the little monster. He's a chow. I've had three of them. I love them. They're great. If you want something to watch after your stuff, they're very territorial. They're very aggressive. They're an excellent sentry dog. Okay? Lex by name. Lex looks like a teddy bear. Literally, you know, he's awesome to me, the folks who are around the house, okay? He does not play well with others, all right? Dave Hodel's not here today. He despises Dave Hodel with an absolute passion. I talk to Dave on the phone and he starts barking. He hates Dave. So if you haven't been to the house yet and you visit, guess what? You're probably not going to see Lex, all right? He likes Carla. I don't Carla got something going on. Lex likes Carla. She's got money. That's it. You're not going to see Lex because I don't trust him. I know him. I know he will bite people. He has bitten people. All right? Why do you have a dog like that? Because I like to go to the gym in the morning and leave my windows open and my doors unlocked. All right? And I walk away and I think to myself, if anybody wants to deal with that nonsense, they deserve anything they get out of there. All right? Lex stays in his... You come over, you're not going to see it. You're going to hear him, but you will not see him. Why? Because I don't trust him. So what do? Put him off to the side. Lex is out of the picture. Our tongues, it should be the same thing. If we cannot tame it, and if we know it's dangerous, use it very sparingly. I mean, not use it at all. Use it very sparingly. Because without these three characteristics, the two we know about that are no-brainers, keeping yourself unspotted from the world, that, and being charitable. But this thing about the tongue, be attentive to that. You know, it's not a hobby horse of mine. Obviously, the Holy Spirit wants James to tell us to be careful with our lips. Because without these characteristics, our religion, which is a paramount relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, without these characteristics, our religion has no meaning. Our religion is absolutely meaningless if we don't have these characteristics in it. Again, charity, keeping yourself unspotted from the world, and bridling your tongue. It is a vain religion that you have if you do not exemplify these things. It is more than faith. Faith is something different than religion, and James is talking about religion here. It's more than faith. Contra Luther, our friend Luther, little footnote on this whole deal. You know, in the Epistle of James, it's the only place in Scripture where faith and alone are used in the same sentence. And guess what it says? Faith is not alone. I'm just saying. Our religion is more than faith. Our faith brings us to our religion. And our religion must be a reality. Well, my faith is real. I go to Mass every day. I go to Mass once a week. And my faith is real. It has to be a proven reality. And not proven to yourself, not proven to other people, because we fall into that one too. You know, we love to look pious in front of other people, but all of a sudden when they're riding the car with you or they happen to be at your house, all of a sudden the slips start occurring, okay? Our religion has to be proven not to us, not to other people, but to Almighty God Himself. That's what St. James says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father. Is this, and then he gives the characteristics. You need to prove your religion to God, all right? Not to yourself, not to other people, to God. This is the scary part. God is always around. God is the searcher of your heart. He knows your motives for doing things. He knows the intents of your heart. He knows why you do and why you don't do things. Well, I do this, and that's great. Doesn't that make me look pious? God knows why you're doing it. And if it is because you're pious, praise God, and He will reward you for it. If it's because you want to look good in front of other people, it's a sin. You got to prove your religion to God. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this. Charitable, you bridle your tongue, and you keep yourself unspotted from the world. You don't prove it to me, you don't prove it to yourself, or prove it to others. You have to prove it to Almighty God, Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.